about.
You gotta put it in
perspective. Sanchez, we ready? 1 second. I'm rolling up. Are we ready? I guess not.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
Long story short, man, you know, I did it all. I mean, Kimmel, Conan, did Fallon the other night, Seth, Samantha Bee, even did Carson Daly. And he did it at a little bodega in Queens. He got robbed while he was doing his show. It was dope.
Is that show still even on?
Yeah, I just said that I was on it.
All right, welcome to the first day of the rest of your life. And I will be right there by your side. When you laugh, I'll laugh. When you cry, I'll cry. And when you dance, I'll watch you dance. So what do you say?
Pass.
And now, please, let me on the air. We need to do this for Los Angeles.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Monday morning, the 4th of March. Allie, you have not looked this poor in a long, long time.
Listen.
Oh, hey, Brad.
I've been hitting the sauce real hard. It's not going well.
There's going to be nothing left of you if you continue drinking at this rate.
I swear. You're like 4 inches shorter than you were Friday.
I'm like the opposite of those things, shrinky dinks, where you got them wet and they would expand.
Mm-hmm.
Nope.
and 2 inches shorter, being not 4.
Yes.
Oh, right. Sorry. Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. You guys are very close.
Right.
I mean, she's practically a little person, right?
I mean, we let her in the meetings.
Of course.
Sure. You should.
We talk.
Happy Lundi Gras, you guys. Folks who only know Mardi Gras may not realize that the goddamn carnival season in New Orleans goes on for weeks. And it is exhausting, and it is noisy, and there are nothing but young people running up and down the streets in tiny outfits.
Well, that sounds terrible.
Wigs and drinking and
this sounds like
yelling,
you're seeing Bean.
Bands and it's just it's like I don't know what it's like. It's like constant drumbeat.
I would imagine what seems
like round the clock. It's not really, but we're at the time of the year now. You know, getting closer and closer to Mardi Gras, where there are 5 parades a day,
mm-hmm.
and they all have 40 brass bands in them,
right.
You know, marching bands, and you just can't escape it. It's like living in cacophony.
Here's the difference between you and I is mm-hmm. that I've probably gone to those 15 or 16 times.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So fun.
Yeah.
Well,
the key is drinking.
Yes.
You have to drink.
There's plenty of that going on.
Yeah.
Bean, do you think you're like the people who live in out in the Coachella Valley, and now it's time for Coachella, and just like, oh God,
absolutely, it's the worst week of the year in New Orleans. Kevin used to come to Mardi Gras all the time until I moved here, and then mysteriously,
well,
not
now,
so much anymore.
It was odd.
Well, now he has no one to visit. Before,
so I just can't wait for the thing to be over. I'll tell you that it has been sunny and delightful here. That has not been the case all over the country. You know, the president, your president, Chip, says that global warming is a hoax because it's cold in some places. And I can't argue with the science there, but there are 3 very quick stories that I want to do about the snow. Kevin, I know one you saw is the guy who was stranded in his car in Central Oregon.
Yes.
For 5 days, you guys,
yeah.
in his car for 5 days. Now, I know that I know the advice, I see it on the news all the time. Hey, if you get stranded in a snowbank, stay with your car. Wait till somebody comes and finds you. Do not get out and attempt to walk.
Right, but after 2 full days, don't you go, I'm going to die here.
I'm going to die in a Tercel.
Right? Yes, that was not my dream.
Just
absolutely, Kevin. You think after a certain amount of time, and maybe 2 days is your number, you think they're not going to find me. There's nobody out here. There's too much snow. It's on me to get to some sort of shelter or to find somebody to flag down or to a doorbell to ring or something, right? Well, this guy did try to get out, but there was just too much snow to even hike out from where he was. The snow was too deep. And that's the thing about the winter storms this year in so many places. There are people who cannot even begin to shovel their driveways because the snow is taller than they are.
Yeah.
So there's nowhere to start.
As a 4-foot man, this absolutely terrifies
sure.
me.
Sure. Of course.
So he was, for 5 days, Jeremy Taylor, 36 years old, Sun River, Oregon, was stuck in his vehicle. He was finally come upon by a snowmobiler. And he says that the only reason he's still alive is that he was eating taco sauce packets for 5 days.
Taco Bell hot sauce for five days.
5 days.
That just sounds like a Kevin vacation.
Taco Bell fire sauce saves lives, he says. Miraculously, he and his dog are both in good health, but they were obviously very, very hungry.
So and his dog.
And his dog, Allie. Sorry, Allie. thing two, this happened in Lake Tahoe, I think on the California side. And this is a woman who was illegally parked, and the snowplow came along and covered her car with snow. It was plowing the street and just right on top of her car.
Sweet.
Thank you, Michael Winslow Bean.
Here's what happened to her.
And it may be a little hard to distinguish, but if you look at this video, look at your screen now. This is a car buried under a ton of snow. And guess what? There was a woman stuck inside. Earlier this month, a snowplow driver was clearing the roads in South Lake Tahoe, California. His plow hit the car that was, by the way, illegally parked. So lesson learned, right? When they began digging...
Hey, she's homeless and living in her car and just got stuck in a snowbank. Maybe now's not the time to parking shame her.
Lesson learned, huh?
Throwing shade.
Seriously, give the woman a break. She's lucky to be alive.
When they began digging it out, they saw a woman waving for help. According to local media, she may have been living in her car.
Living in her car?
She says that as if it's never been done before. Living in a car?
People do sexual favors behind a dumpster for money?
So you're asleep in your car, and all of a sudden the snowplow comes by, and then you are just under an avalanche, basically, of snow. And I guess you can't even open your door or anything, right? Because there's so much weight that you literally are just stuck there. It has to be pitch black dark, I would imagine, in there, too.
Does she have hot sauce?
It doesn't say whether she had hot sauce or not. But imagine how terrifying that must be.
Yeah, that'd be crazy.
To not have any idea how long it's going to be before somebody comes along and finds you, or the snow starts to melt or whatever.
Or if they come along.
She said she had been there for several hours. Her rescuers think it may have been longer just because the amount of snow, but reportedly she is okay. Can't imagine. Couldn't have been comfortable, right?
That's a great comment. That's a fantastic
sign. That is some in-depth news reporting.
Couldn't have been comfortable,
right? I mean, yeah, you got the guys that busted Nixon and this reporter. They're all in the same category.
Do you think she enjoyed it? Did she have a good time? All right, so that's thing two. And thing three of our weather roundup is this lady who you will fall very deeply in love with if you haven't seen her yet. Her name is Diane. She's in Brooklyn. And the media are going crazy, as you can imagine, as many people are in New York because they've had so much snow. I think they got about another 8 inches of snow yesterday, and they're over it. They're tired of it. They're complaining. This lady is pointing out, hey, it's winter. Hey, it's winter. It's winter, you guys. What do you expect? We live in New York, and it's winter. Please meet Diane.
We get mad because it's snowing, but it's winter outside. I mean, we are a bunch of weird people, okay? If it was summer and it was snowing, yes, it is winter.
I mean, she's making a great point.
That is a good point.
Man. How surprised can you be by snow in the winter? It's not July.
Tracy Morgan's mom is mad.
Diane Joshua has strong feelings about the snow.
It's winter. Hello. It's winter. Hello. About 3-4 weeks ago, it was what? 3 degrees outside. It's a heat wave out here now.
So she's looking at the bright side. She's like, look, it was 3 a couple of weeks ago. Now it's 30.
Glass half full.
Yeah.
Isn't her?
Optimist.
What's everybody complaining about? It's winter and it's cold. Deal with it.
Hello, it's winter. Yes. I'm not surprised. I love it. It's winter. Let's work with it. This is a heat wave. This is a heat wave. 3 degrees 3 weeks ago. How soon we forget.
I'm like not a big fan of that person that's yelling, it's a heat wave, when you're miserable.
No, yeah, that's the person that when you're drowning and your yard is flooded, they're like, we need the rain. You're like, not now.
I hear what you're saying, but I am still Diane 2020.
You are. Sorry.
I really am. I'm Diane 2020.
Team Winter.
I'm Team Winter. Yes, thank you. Winter is coming, you guys, and apparently it's already here.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
On this mission, the only passenger is a dummy.
That's true. You trick somebody into believing something, and how long did they believe it?
Oh, I love this topic. I have no idea what we're going to get for this, but I love it.
I know what I have to add to it.
I've got one, too.
Excellent. We're going to talk to Bean's wife, Donna, about his Instagram and why there's so much blood on it. What's up with that?
Here's what happened, Brad. I found out I had an Instagram account. I didn't realize it, but it had been dormant for 7 years. And I managed to finally get a new password and to get into it. And I had a few photos that were posted, some of which involve my face covered in blood and Donna's hands covered in blood.
Murder. You guys killed someone, didn't you?
And this was pre-caption days, I guess, or at least I didn't use captions because, nobody followed me and I had it on private. So it was just for me. So I have no recollection whatsoever of why so much blood.
You're not making the story any better by saying, it was just for me.
It's private just for me. That's where I keep all the pictures, all the bloody people I killed.
All right, Dexter.
So we're gonna call Donna and maybe she can shed some light on why the hell there was so much blood.
I really need to kill somebody.
I hope that wasn't it.
That's Bean. Also on today's show, why do you have to have gift bags at kids' parties? Omar has smaller children and is very frustrated by this because they go to a birthday party and they, on your way out, they give you a gift bag. It's like you're at the Oscars or something.
Yeah, and this has been going on since I was a kid.
Has it?
Yeah, I remember getting gift bags from people. And at the time, as a kid, you love it. But then I imagine you get to be a parent, you're like, why do I have to buy gifts for all these kids?
Yeah, that sucks.
Especially since you're already providing food and drink and entertainment.
The clown not enough?
Right. Thank you.
And great news, because it's Monday. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:52.
You know, this whole year, it seems like every week we have a flyaway to some exotic location to see a great series of concerts.
Yeah, wheels up.
Yeah, wheels up, right. We've been sending you all over Europe. We've been sending you to Toronto. I mean, everywhere. Today?
Hey, says in small print, announce after 7 a.m.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Right at the top.
Right at the top in red.
Where does it say that?
Right Hall of Fame!
Oh, I see. I was looking on the other page
for
more details.
How bad is it when Kevin is the one pointing out
Chip
those details?
Out, but we'll get to it. Think of that as a tease.
There you go.
I'm telling you, wait till you hear where we're sending you this time. That's right? What I'm saying. And we'll give you that information shortly after 7 o'clock. First, though, it is Monday morning. Our friend Brad Williams, very kind to come in and sit in for Allie McKay, who's out today. What's going on, Brad?
Well, it's a good thing you guys called me in today, because, man, it's just a lot of fun out there.
A lot
of great stories. You don't even have to do the great news. It's right here in what's happened. Oh, wait, it's depressing as hell. So all anyone is talking about is the Leaving Neverland documentary that aired on HBO last night. Part one aired on HBO last night.
And now, let me stop you right there.
Yes. Please, stop me.
Kevin, did you watch?
I watched probably only 20 minutes of it because I forgot. But then I recorded the later.
Will you watch?
Yeah.
Okay. How about you, Brad?
I did not watch, but I will, and it will make me very uncomfortable. And I feel like that for stuff like this, that's a good thing. That it makes you think about it and makes you realize the severity of the situation.
All right, tell me if I'm a bad person.
Yes.
Well, let me finish. Am I a bad person that I don't need somebody else to tell me that Michael Jackson molested them? I already believe he molested a lot of kids.
Yes, and you're not a bad person, because I'm also sort of under the belief of, why do we need these things for us to have a call to action, whether it be R. Kelly, whether it be Michael Jackson, whether it be when they talked about the Ray Rice tape and how, like we knew what happened before the tape came out.
Yeah.
Right.
And then the tape comes out, and now we're all up in arms.
I mean, I get that it may feel good for the victims to have their say and to be believed. I get that, because a lot of times have changed. But I guess the reason I didn't watch it and may not is I have very close to zero tolerance for child abuse. It's so painful and so ugly.
It's a very hot take, Bean.
To see those stories that...
No, agreed.
I just can't... it's hard for me to look at it.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And to hear the graphic details of what happened. I already know he's a monster.
Yes.
and this isn't going to change my mind either way, well, except maybe to think he's more of a monster.
I think the I think the problem, though, is that nothing really stuck to him legally while he was alive, did it?
No.
So he'd pay people off and whatever.
Yeah, he'd pay people off.
And so, didn't get acquitted on the one that he went to trial for.
Right, so...
By a jury that loved Michael Jackson.
Yeah. So there is a reason to watch it because it hasn't been damning evidence yet. Mm-hmm. Even if you believe it.
Now, the question is, and unfortunately this is a debate that we're having a lot nowadays, is are you able to separate the art from the artist? Can you listen to a Michael Jackson song now?
And this is the perfect one to have this discussion because it's easy for most white people to avoid R. Kelly, okay? White people can't avoid Michael Jackson because he is on all of our mixtapes. He's at all of our weddings that we go to. He's at all of our, you know, all of our party weekends. He's
You're telling Bean parties a lot because he says party weekends.
He's ubiquitous.
Yeah.
He's the biggest star of all time. Do you, I mean, I will tell you this, the largest radio station in Europe, BBC Radio 2, has at least temporarily pulled all Michael Jackson music.
Wow.
Yeah.
And did you see Jensen's tweet last night?
Yes.
Just before it aired? I'm listening to PYT for one last time.
Yeah. And I saw a couple other people that were doing very similar things. It's weird that it varies from person to person and from artist to artist. Me personally, I cannot listen to a Chris Brown song ever.
But I agree.
Right.
There are certain artists that have done other horrible things that I can listen to, and I know that's hypocritical, and I know it's weird.
Well, I think we're all like that.
Yeah.
We're all like that. I mean, Bing Crosby beat the crap out of his children.
Yeah.
But I'll still listen to White Christmas when it comes on. And maybe because, well, you just hate White Christmas, right, but maybe it's because, I don't know, maybe it's because everybody involved is dead and it happened 75 years ago.
Yeah.
I don't know if that has anything to do with it. And Michael Jackson's victims are still alive. Look, if Michael Jackson's victims were guests today, I wouldn't be playing Michael Jackson on our station. I'll tell you that.
No, of course.
And I don't want to inflict pain on anybody who has suffered child abuse. But I don't know, Brad. I mean, if you're driving down the road on your way home today and your Beat It comes on, it's still a great song.
Yeah. And that's the hard part, is when all the Cosby stuff came out. Everyone's like, well, Bill Cosby's a horrible comedian. It's like, his jokes... We're good.
He was a good comedian.
He was a good comedian.
A bad person.
Horrible
bad person.
Human being.
Yeah.
Horrible.
Yeah.
And like, does it take away from the art? And for some people, yes. For some people, no. I think it's just a personal preference. And you have to make that decision for yourself.
It's an ugly, ugly story. And I only watched 20 minutes of it. I'm going to watch it when I get home and watch the second one, too, because it's just...
Yeah.
It's crushing.
And
why do you put yourself through that, though, Kevin? You already know he's guilty. You know he did it.
I mean, I believe that he was guilty and did it, but it's different to hear it from people that were there. Mm-hmm. And in the 20 minutes that I watched, they had moms and sisters and brothers going to live at Neverland and leaving their dad, who has Alzheimer's, behind. Like, it was crazy, the parents that were involved in taking their kids there.
Yeah, and I think that's one thing that you also saw from this, is that just the people who get blinded by fame and people that are leaving their children with Michael Jackson over just bye.
Yep.
Have a good time.
All right, let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. Can you listen to Jackson 5 songs because Michael was 11 then and had never done anything bad?
Ooh. So that's before.
Yeah.
I mean, I would assume that would be different, sure.
Yeah.
I don't know. This is a really difficult one.
It is.
And the thing is I don't think there's an easy answer.
Nope.
And I think the answer changes from person to person.
Yeah, everybody makes up their own mind what they can handle, what they don't want to handle.
Yeah. And God, you guys brought me in on the right day because it's just...
playing to your strengths of comedy.
The hits keep on coming, everybody.
Well, we did that one this time. We can do another one next time.
Okay.
There's plenty of bad news to go around.
There really is.
And the good news is we are out of time, Brad, so that's all we have time for.
Well, there was a couple celebrities born today, but at this point, who cares? I'm Brad Williams.
I mean, we've sent you to Iceland. We've sent you to Paris. This time.
Not till after 7.
But we have the
half
thing
hour
the...
from now.
But the band...
Half hour from now.
Okay.
7 a.m.
Make that announcement.
Says
out.
Giant red letters, announce at 7 a.m.
You know what? Now that you mention it, I do see that.
What is you guys' move when you get into an Uber?
Nothing. I say nothing. I do nothing.
I bring my wireless headphones and I say,
good call.
I don't mean to be offensive at all, but I'm going to listen to my music. Is that okay? And they're like, sure, of course.
I love interrogating my Uber drivers.
Oh, my God.
Can you imagine?
I love it. How long have you had this model car? Oh, that would be a nightmare.
I always want to know where they're from, how they came to be an Uber driver.
So the opposite of
how low is your rating?
You know what? I've never even looked. I don't even know.
How about that?
I'm sure it's a negative.
He's trying to get Uber rides, and they're all just passing him right by.
I'm very pleasant in the Uber, but I'm also very conversational. I'm a curious person, you guys, and I'm interested in somebody who does that kind of work. I always want to know if they've driven any famous people. I always want to. There's a bunch of questions you can ask Uber drivers. It's an interesting job.
It is, but at the same time, do you really want to go into a deep dive of why someone is an Uber driver? You're never going to hear an amazing story like, well, my uncle left me $1 billion, right, but I just do this because I like to help people. Like,
it is always I have to do this to make ends meet. That's the answer.
Which is great, make your money, but come on.
I also like knowing whether the person is a native of Louisiana and, you know, where they grew up and what do they like. And,
this is funny because I'm much more social with people, and Bean is much less social with people, unless he's got him one-on-one in an Uber car.
Unless he's got them locked in a confined space.
But you're more social with friends. I think I might be more social with complete strangers that are trapped.
That's possible. That are trapped is the key word. Right. A 38-year-old Seattle Uber driver has a menu. He shows you a menu, and he says, what kind of Uber experience are you looking for today? Here's the story.
Talk about going the extra mile. One enterprising Uber driver is giving the idea of custom rides a whole new spin. That driver based in Seattle handing out this handy-dandy ride-type menu to customers. So if you'd like the stand-up ride.
Okay, so the stand-up ride is
Dad,
him.
Listen up. You can learn some tips here.
No. Is him doing, I kid you not, comedy.
No.
I kid you not.
Here's what it says under the stand-up ride. I tell you about things that are funny, from prison stories to the other poor life choices I've made. Don't get a lover's name tattooed on you ever.
That's the comedy.
Yeah, it gives you a little bit of a clue.
It's his personal story.
We get the feeling he's an aspiring comedian with material to share. But there's also the silent ride. There's the rude ride.
I'd take the silent ride.
What's the rude ride?
Rude ride is he's rude. You're rude back and forth.
Hey, fatty.
Yeah.
I can't drive that fast.
Hey,
you're weighing down my car.
Hold on a second here, Kevin. Let's talk about the silent ride for a second. Isn't that a little bit like just treating him like the help? Like ignoring him and his experiences as a human being?
But I don't know that that guy wants to give his resume out to every single writer. Do you think they do
that? But I mean, I think there's something unnatural about two people sitting in a closed space pretending that each other doesn't exist.
I think there's something completely wonderful about that.
I do too.
And wait, aren't you married? That's your married life. Just sitting in a closed space, pretending each other doesn't exist. We're gonna talk to Donna later. She's gonna have the same stories.
Okay. All right. There's more choices on the menu as well.
Where he can be as rude as possible. What does it matter with you if you want the rude ride? A recent passenger posted the list to social media. The driver commented with a thanks, and he tells Forbes that Fair selected a therapy ride. So if you're ready for it, the doctor is apparently in.
Therapy ride.
So he's your bartender, basically.
So he'll listen to you complain about stuff.
Okay.
And then be reassuring.
Or maybe you've got an important life choice coming up and you need somebody to weigh in with an objective opinion. I think that's nice as well.
I can see that actually being nice if that's what that person wants to do. Maybe you're getting the Uber from and you're taking the Uber of shame. In the next morning, you're like, this guy didn't call me. He tricked me. I get it.
And this Uber driver will go, oh, that's so unfair. You're really treated poorly.
Yeah.
You're better than that. I don't want him to be my therapist. Looking for that.
Well, but then you would get the silent ride.
Yeah, that's true.
But sometimes, Kevin, you're too close to your own situation. You can't see what to do. And an impartial stranger may have good advice.
I've never ever asked an impartial stranger. I always, if I have questions, I always go to friends because they know me.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay. I
would never ask a stranger.
Yeah.
Where the hell, since this is Kevin's story, is the police chase option.
Oh, there isn't. Where's that? Oh,
that speed needs to through be added. Every red light.
That needs to be added so quickly. I mean, I would take that every time.
Seriously, can you imagine how awesome that would be if you just said, all right, I need to get into police chase. Go. Hit it, Steve.
I will pay your fines.
Here's a little bit more of the story.
The driver's seat.
You know, surprisingly, even though I talk a lot, this is the industry that we're in. I like a silent ride.
Yeah, I would go with a silent ride, too.
Just take me to my spot, safe and sound, but I appreciate all you.
I don't want
to.
But if you had a bad day and you want to just go at it with somebody, that might be a good ride to take.
I don't see, again, I don't, I'm not positive. So here are the choices. The stand-up.
Yeah.
The silent mode.
Yes. Okay.
The therapy ride.
Okay.
The rude ride. Mm-hmm. And one that hasn't been mentioned yet that's my favorite. The creepy ride.
Oh.
So what happens is you're in the Uber and you're driving around town, and every mile or so, he'll just glance up at the mirror and look at you and just sort of stare you down for a second and then go back to driving and then look up in the mirror at you.
See, that's not what I thought the creepy ride would be. The creepy ride would be the one time that I was in the car with Bean, and then he rolled down the window and yelled at a woman, "Hello!"
That's very different. Yeah. That's the Bean ride.
I thought that would be the creepy ride.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:53.
Coming up at the 7 o'clock hour, we will tackle the Momo Challenge.
Thousands of people committing suicide as a result of the Momo Challenge. Have you heard, Kevin?
I've heard.
Just everywhere. You can't get away from how many people with the Momo Challenge. Or it's a complete hoax and it's never happened one time ever.
Yep.
We'll discuss. Plus, Monday means great news coming up just after the top of the hour. First, though, in for Allie McKay. Time for What's Happening. Here's our friend Brad Williams.
Once again, you guys bring me in to just lighten the mood and cheer everybody up.
All right, go ahead and do that.
Spend nothing but, you know, spread the good vibes. Good vibes going all around. So, of course, we have to talk about the lead singer of the band Prodigy. Unfortunately, was found dead in his home of an apparent suicide. And, Keith Flint. Keith Flint has committed suicide. And once again, it's very sad. His bandmates made Instagram posts, and they didn't know. And we're, once again, faced with this thing of urging people, pleading with people, if you're having issues and thoughts, reach out to Suicide Prevention Hotline, reach out to friends. You will not burden your friends. Your friends will be happy to talk with you.
Yeah, agreed.
And it is very unfortunate. If you don't know the band Prodigy, you probably know some of their songs, like this one. I'm a fire starter, twisted fire starter. Yeah. Really big in the 90s. Sort of, what would you call this style of music? British Euro tech pop thing.
Yes.
Yeah, a little bit of everything.
Exactly, I mean, what I would call them.
Yeah, but I mean, that. They had Breathe, they had Smack My Bitch Up, they were a big K-Rock band, a big Coachella band.
Yeah.
And they were a huge band in that kind of music for a lot of people, and he was only 49, which just makes it even more tragic.
And if you've never seen the video for Smack My Bitch Up, that's one of the best music videos of all time. And it was not allowed to be played on MTV, so for a while. Back when they played videos, kids. But yeah, it was a revolutionary video. The guy's known for having Keith had that double mohawk, which was always so cool.
Right.
But yeah, sad day. Sad day.
That sucks.
Speaking of things that are dead, let's talk about the Los Angeles Lakers, everybody.
How dare you?
I'm a Lakers fan. This hurts.
Same.
He's not wrong, Kevin.
No, I know.
They are not good.
What's it going to be like for LeBron to have a season that's 2 months shorter than he's used to?
Yes. He's been in the finals the last 8 years.
I got to tell you, I think this is a plan because the players that make the finals play... what, another month and a half?
Yeah.
Right.
At the end of every season, and then they have a shorter turnaround. I think they're doing this on purpose.
Yeah.
To give LeBron a little more rest.
Oh, God bless you. God bless you, Kevin, and your hope. Your wide-eyed innocence. Well, the casual fans are not the only people that are angry. Also, one of the Lakers' biggest fans, the great Snoop Dogg, is very upset and posted a video to his social media. And you might want to pay attention to it because if you listen to this video, you might be able to see the Lakers play for very cheap.
And it's terrible watching my Lakers play. Somebody got to go. This somebody got to go. Matter of fact, a lot of got to go. Starting with the coach. This ain't going to work. This is not the L.A. way. Ship all the out. These sorry motherfuckers gonna do shit. Nothing. Get LeBron some fucking help. Because these goofballs ain't gonna do shit. They sorry. They fucking suck. I'm selling my fucking booth right now. I got a booth for the next 2 years, 3 years. This year, y'all can have it. $5 for the motherfucking booth to the Laker games. $5 is the price.
All right.
Anybody can have it. All the homies hit me. Blow me up right now.
By the way, I agree with him. It has to start with the coach.
Yeah. I was going to ask, how much of this is Luke Walton's fault, you guys
think? Don't know, but when a team performs that poorly, it has that bad of chemistry,
yeah.
To me, that's the coach.
And when you look at the individual parts, whether it be obviously LeBron, but you look at Kuzma and you look at some of the other players that they have, we're like, I think they're good players, Ingram.
Yeah, if they work together as a team,
yeah.
They would be much better, but they don't. I don't know.
So,
I just feel like that's coach.
Hit up Snoop Dogg. And after Snoop commentated hockey. Remember when he commented the Kings game and now this? I just want Snoop's the new Morgan Freeman. I want him to announce everything.
He just needs to have a booth where he's broadcasting from the game, from every game he goes
All games.
To.
I want him to be the new David Attenborough and narrate all the Blue Earth things. Right. I want all of that. All of it. Snoop,
there
just do everything.
You know how you can go to your TV and you can put on the closed captions? Or
SAP, right?
Yeah, there needs to be a Snoop option. On all sporting events.
The Snoop option.
Fantastic.
So, Snoop, not too happy about the Lakers. One last story, and this one, this angered a lot of stand-up comics on Twitter last night. Stormy Daniels. You remember Stormy Daniels?
Sure.
She's the one that had she was with
Trump.
President Trump? Okay,
yeah.
Yes, I do remember her.
Well, guess what she's doing? Stand-up comedy! Hey!
Why do you need jazz hands for that?
Hey!
Why are you doing jazz hands?
Because she's doing stand-up, everybody!
Do we need all of that?
I don't think you need to be worried, though, about maybe her taking some of your spotlight, because I assume she's
it's
not
a pretty,
great.
Pretty different act.
Yeah.
Listen, I'm not going to get mad at anyone for trying to make a buck. She's trying to get a payday.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't get mad at the comedy club, which if you want to see her, you can go to the Joke Joint in Houston, Texas, Wednesday, March 20th. She's doing two shows. Two.
Have you played there, Brad?
I have not. But
worth the trip to Texas, right?
In every city, there's an A room and a B room.
Mm-hmm.
Not the A room, the joke joint. Okay. So you can go there, and I get it. The club will make a ton of money. She will make money. I'm not mad at either of them.
Okay.
I am mad at anyone who buys a ticket to this.
That's
who I'm mad at.
Let me ask you a question.
Yes.
Aren't a lot of the people buying those tickets because it's going to be a train wreck, and you want to see how much of a train wreck it's going to be?
Yes.
Because I feel like maybe I would buy those.
as someone who once took a party bus to go see Corey Feldman do a show.
Right.
You've got no room to complain.
Yes. But at the same time, I just feel like if the waitresses at the Joke Joint want to slip birth control in every one of the drinks of people that are in that audience, I'm okay with that. I'm okay with it. We don't need that reproducing.
Kevin makes a good point because he was very serious about going to see the Cash Me Outside girl when she came to do her rap numbers.
Oh, boy.
He was going to go see that because how can you not?
You see stuff that's either better than average or horrible.
Yes.
And I love both.
So, whether it be Stormy Daniels or remember when Charlie Sheen did his whole thing
and then he
went on a stand-up comedy tour and people booed him and walked out. You're like, did you think it was going to be good?
That's right. I forgot about that. And he didn't even bother to prepare jokes.
Nope. No. He just walked on stage, rambled, and every now and then when he felt like he lost the crowd, he would go, winning, Tiger Blood. And that's it. So,
good times.
Well, at least we know Stormy has a backup skill if the act is not going well.
Correct.
Right? She can go out in the audience and make sure that they enjoy that show. You know what I mean?
Yeah, sure.
You know what I mean, Kevin?
Like you've done.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you get desperate. Once again, I don't have my birthday sheet. Google it. All right? There's some celebrities that were born today.
Two what's happenings now. How hard is it to get a birthday list?
And Chip has it. No one famous. Just, Patricia Heaton. She's great.
Okay.
It's her birthday today. Catherine O'Hara. Okay. Fantastic.
Legend.
And then somebody named Landon. He plays. He's a football player.
How dare you,
Landon
Donovan?
Donovan.
Landon Donovan.
Who?
How dare you?
The man who won't retire.
How dare you?
I'm Brad Williams filling in for
Jesus. Brad being in for Allie today is like
Debbie Downer, right?
Right. Bringing us all bad
news. Talking about the Michael Jackson thing, talking about the Lakers thing.
Allie doesn't do all bad news.
Keith Flint from Prodigy, very sad news. I think we need some good news, you guys. I think it's time to turn this ship around and present great news.
When you wake up, all you hear is bad news. So bad it makes you want to hit the snooze. Kevin and Bean can make that go away. It's time for great news today.
Great news!
All right, I'm going to start with a story out of San Diego. There was a bookstore owner named Seth Marco. Bookstore owner seems like a tough road to hoe.
Yeah. Yeah, right up there with the clerk at a Blockbuster.
Amazon, yeah.
Yeah. He learned that he had to have open heart surgery in January. So they have a 3-year-old. They had to make sure she was taken care of. Then they were just going to close the store because the wife was going to be taking care of him. Mm-hmm. What do they do? Listen to this.
Jennifer Powell and her husband, Seth Marco, love sharing their passion for books with others. But in the last days of January, the couple discovered that Seth needed emergency open heart surgery.
Very intense surgery, but there was no other option.
Thankfully, he made it out okay, but was in no shape to work. And since Jennifer was taking care of him and their 3-year-old daughter, neither could she. But once word started to spread, they realized their doors wouldn't stay closed for long.
Everybody really kind of jumped into action, like, almost immediately, which is really wonderful because then we were literally only closed for a day.
Colleagues from other bookstores decided to staff the shop free of charge until Jennifer and Seth could get back on their feet.
Their competition.
Wow.
That's fantastic.
The competition's bookstore said, you know what? We're going to keep your store open.
That's fantastic.
That's amazing.
I'm grateful for anyone who keeps a bookstore open in 2019. Yeah. Believe me, there's no greater joy than walking into a bookstore and finding books you didn't even know you needed.
But
you haven't had sex, had you, Bean?
Right.
Because that's a little better joy for me,
but
personally.
But for the competition, now, how many bookstores are there in San Diego? I mean, I can't imagine there are a lot. So the competition says we're going to keep yours open. I think that's really fantastic.
It's not really hard to believe that this happened. But it is still heartwarming to see that it actually did come into place.
Jennifer telling us she and her husband are touched by the outpouring of support.
I think he would probably say, I don't know how to thank you, but I will probably spend the rest of my life trying to. From our customers, to our friends, to our volunteer staff, just thank you.
And it wasn't just the competition in the bookstore. It was just people in town that were aware of it that said, I'll take a shift.
So great.
I'll take a shift.
Very heartwarming.
That's really amazing, and that's my great news.
Oh, I get to get the reverb?
Well, we'll see.
I'm so excited now.
See if your story qualifies.
All right. Well, I did my research, and, okay. And I've got some great news. Wayne Hayer. Not yet.
Okay.
Wayne Hayer is a student at Morehouse College in Atlanta, Georgia. And
Hotlanta, we call it on the show.
Oh, I'm sorry. Hotlanta. Peace up, A-Town. And he needed to go to class. He needed to go to his algebra class. Now, he is a single father, and he could not find a babysitter for his kid. And this was apparently a very important class where they were going to give a lot of notes right before a big exam. And so he did what, unfortunately, a lot of parents have to do sometime, when you just bring your kid. That is the only option that you have, is to bring your kid. So he brought his child. And rather than everyone look down like, hey, what the heck are you doing? You got a kid in the class. The teacher, Nathan Alexander, said, don't worry, I'll watch the baby. Strap the baby to his chest in a baby Bjorn.
And ran out?
And taught the class.
Okay.
Taught the class, gave notes.
What?
There's photos up on CNN.com. And, he teaches the whole class with a baby on his chest.
That's insane.
Yeah. So the dad, Wayne, could sit there and take notes and not be disturbed and not have to worry about it.
Wow.
I'm not surprised. I love it.
That night, I just got really excited because I saw the baby in a baby Bjorn, and I'm like, oh, that could be a transportation option for me. I could do that. Oh, my God.
Full time.
When I get too drunk, my wife can just throw me in that and just take me home.
I like it.
It'd be great. And that is my great news. No, that's not.
It's on. What are you talking
about? It was?
Yes.
Oh, great news.
All right.
And finally, my story comes out of South Carolina. I hope you saw this viral video a few days ago. Two adorable little Girl Scouts, they're about 7 and 8, are out front of a supermarket selling Girl Scout cookies. And it is
butt cold. It's right around.
How
right
cold around, is right butt cold?
Well, in this case, butt like 34 cold. Degrees is okay. What it was.
So that qualifies as nicest, butt cold.
The nicest man in the world comes by and decides he doesn't want them to have to stand out there to sell their dumb cookies. Listen to what he did.
When a good Samaritan saw these South Carolina Girl Scouts selling cookies in 34-degree weather, he decided to buy all their boxes. The Scouts cookie manager says the man handed them $540 for the cookies so that they could get out of the cold.
I mean, come on. I'll buy everything you've got just so you don't have to stand out here and you make the money for the Girl Scouts.
That's amazing.
He told CNN that they had already been out there for 2 hours selling cookies, adding that the act of kindness earned him a place in the girls' hearts. Gilma Avalos for CBS Chicago.
So one of the girls' moms put that on Facebook and it went viral. And I'm happy to say that nothing bad ever happened as a result of this man or this story. He continues to be an angel.
Have you seen the update?
He continues to do nothing but great work.
Have you seen the update on him?
He's the type of person we should all aspire to be.
Did you see the next story on him?
Oh, the part where he was 3 days later arrested for distribution of heroin, cocaine, and fentanyl?
Yeah. Same guy.
46-year-old Dietrich Fat McGowan, age 46. Again, nicknamed Fat, which explains why he was buying $500 worth of Girl Scout cookies, by the way. Dietrich Fat McGowan, arrested in South Carolina by the U.S. Drug Enforcement Administration on those charges that I mentioned. Apparently, the warrant had gone out for his arrest 3 days before he performed the act of kindness with the Girl Scouts by buying all these cookies. DEA spokesperson says it had nothing to do with the viral photo. It was just totally unrelated, just bad luck on his behalf. But I mean,
is that the end of your great news story?
Well, I'm saying he may be in jail for distribution of heroin, but it's great news for the Girl Scouts, right?
Sure.
So we'll just go.
Listen to K-Rock all week at 9 a.m. on our show, at noon on 3 p.m. and at 6 p.m. for your chance to get 3-day passes to the Ohana Festival at Doheny State Beach, September 27th to the 29th.
All the way to Doheny we're sending you?
Right.
That's amazing. This festival, by the way, there's a ton of bands, but I'll mention The Strokes, I'll mention Eddie Vedder, the Red Hot Chili Peppers, Incubus, and way more. Tickets go on sale this Friday at 10 a.m. at ohanafest.com. Go to KROQ.com for a chance to win some tickets, or my advice, stick around and win some from us at 9 o'clock this morning here on KROQ.
DJ Omar Hot Khan, is that what we're calling him?
Hey, I thought it was Homar.
Homar, sorry.
Just Homar. Hey, Homar.
How are you?
Brad, you don't know this, but somehow the ladies have been peeping out Omar when we do Instagram Live.
I know this.
Oh,
you do know this.
Because I am somewhat associated with this show, and I have had people hit me up and be like, so what's Omar's
you
deal?
You too?
Yeah.
What the hell's happening?
Well, I don't know what happened. I don't know how Omar got hot, but he's now officially referred to as Homar. And,
even if you think you're attractive, which in the words of Gene Simmons, you're a very handsome, powerful man, Omar, but at the same time, like, once you hear you talk, doesn't it ruin it?
Hey, how dare you?
Well, it should ruin it.
I just want to clarify. We're talking about
Omar North Tower.
That's right.
Yep. Okay.
And by the way, plenty of gentlemen reaching out as well. Omar's sexuality is
fluid.
Yeah, attractive to everybody.
It changes on the day.
The reason you are here, though, is because you just went through a blessed event in your life this weekend.
Yes.
You have questions.
I do. So my youngest turned 5, and I think, you know, you should have a big party when your kid turns 5, 10, 13, 18 if they want it. But, yeah, so we did this huge party, and, parties nowadays are out of control.
Yeah, no question.
Okay,
yeah.
Because not only do you need a candy station, you need a snack station, ice cream bar. you have a cake, right? And on top of this—
How did you learn all of this? Just from going to other parties?
Yes. And, you know, we don't want to be outdone. You know what I mean? And also, I love Zozo to death, so I think she deserves it.
I want her to have the best.
What would happen if you just had a bowl of popcorn and a frozen DVD? I mean, would that
riots?
Not be a party?
No, then I'd get bored. You know what I mean? So not only that, you have all the food that you have to buy. Mm-hmm. So you're buying like 10 pizzas and then all the hot dogs, and you have to get 2 piñatas now.
What?
You have to get two piñatas in case the first one breaks with 5 kids in and you still have a line of kids.
Oh, interesting.
You have to have a backup piñata, right? Filled with candy.
Wow.
And on top of that, you have games and you have to buy prizes for those games when the kids win, right?
Right.
And then on top of that, entertainment. And our entertainment is that we got a Hello Kitty to show up for 2 hours.
I saw your picture with Hello Kitty, yes. And it was creepy as hell.
It's a little bit creepy.
Not Mr. Clown? Why didn't you hire Mr. Clown?
Oh, man. I should have thought
because
of that.
He loves his daughter, yeah. Bean.
Maybe when they turn 10, they can stand Mr. Clown.
You'll float too, Omar.
That's the Armenian comedian, for those of you that don't know.
So we have 20 kids, which is a ton of kids.
Okay.
And they're all around Zoe's age?
All around Zoe's age, and they're having a blast. But so after the party's all set and done, all these kids expect a goodie gift bag at the end of the day.
That's become a thing.
And
so
I don't,
after you spending all of that money on the party,
yes,
now you have to give every kid that's there a gift.
Exactly. Filled with some candy, some toys of some kind, some like Hello Kitty tattoos, and all this stuff that's essentially garbage. Okay, but you have to spend money on these garbage things because it's just become a thing. When I was a kid, you just show up to the party, you ate, you got candy, you hit the piñata, and then you're on your way home,
checked
and
out.
It was good, and it was good times.
Yeah.
I don't know when this got started, but it's just insane to me. I don't know.
That's been going on for a while.
Why
it is insane.
Why?
I don't know. I don't know why kids leaving the party where you gave them candy and pizza and everything else... Mm-hmm. I don't know why they need a gift.
So
like, you had fun at our party. You ate.
Right.
You played. All good.
See, it's party socialism. That's what it is. It's party socialism where one kid has all the party. That's the 1% kid. And then, but now we're not happy with your child being the center of attention. So now we have to trickle down that attention. It's trickle down socialism economics. Mm. And it, I don't even know if that makes sense.
I don't know either.
It goes out
I
to the younger kids.
Freaking Bernie Sanders must be blamed somehow.
Son of a bitch.
That's what I think.
So
what happens if you don't, though? What happens if you get up at the end of the party and you say, hey, I'm so glad you guys were able to come, and I'm so glad you guys had a nice time. Zoe, we'll see you at school tomorrow. Bye-bye.
So I don't know where my wife got this idea. So we on top of the gift bags, we took a little cute picture of Zoe, and we made, like, little miniature thank you for coming to our party little pictures, right?
All right.
So what had happened was, and if you guys can afford to get some sort of costume character, if your daughter loves a princess or whatever, I know not everybody could afford it, but I strongly suggest it because, man, as a parent, it gives you 2 hours of just a breather. It's awesome.
And those kids are hanging off that character.
Exactly, right? Exactly. You know? So it's about $350, and they also bring the goodie bags. Up
what?
To 20 kids.
I didn't know that.
Neither did I until
so
the
Hello
day
Kitty
up.
Brought the bags that you gave as parting gifts?
Well, the one thing that Hello Kitty didn't bring that we got promised were the goodie bags.
Oh. You got ripped off by Hello Kitty.
So at the end of the day, not all the kids. But
was
there
that a panic buy?
No. We were already halfway into the party,
so
dude.
No way to know.
No way to know. So what happened was they forgot the bags, so they just started handing out all the little toys and stuff in the kids' hands, right? But no official gift bag.
Right.
Ugh. So there's one kid.
You disgust me.
Right? That's embarrassing. I'm embarrassed to know you.
Who's walking out? He's like, where's my gift bag?
Oh.
And I'm all like, beat it, kid. I don't know what you're talking about.
That kid gets thrown to a wood chipper.
Yeah, right? Like,
all right, let's take
God.
One phone call. Let's make it Mike in Los Angeles. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning. This is an issue close to my heart. I have two boys, 4 and 2 years old, and they have parties. And I told my wife she is not allowed to buy junky Chinese 9-cent toys to put in the goodie bags because when I get them and we get them home, we just throw them away because it's crap.
Okay,
yeah.
Also, second part, the goodie bag is... The parting is to get the kids to leave. Is to get them. It's like a breakup. It's a sense of closure. It's like getting your hoodie back.
Here's your goodie bag. Get the hell
get
out.
The hell out really?
Beat it, kid.
Yeah,
I love that.
That's the sign.
So
it's
you're
over.
Bribing
Bye.
Them to go home.
100%.
Huh. I like having parties and I have people over, so I never tell them to get out. You know, I think the longer the party goes, I'm good with it. So I'm very different than Mike.
Wow.
Yeah,
I like
I'm
Mike's
team,
plan better.
But
I'm team Mike here.
Yeah.
The Momo challenge, you guys. It's all I'm seeing online right now. Have you heard about it? Are you down with the Momo Challenge?
I'm not down with it, but I have heard of it.
You have heard. Brad, have you heard about the Momo Challenge?
I have no idea what that is.
Many tweeters, including Kim Kardashian, to her millions and millions of followers, have said, warning, please read This Is Real. There is a thing called Momo that is instructing children to kill themselves. And then it has an attached screenshot of a Facebook post that reads, "Inform everyone you can." Now, for folks who haven't seen it, Momo looks like, well, it's an art piece for a museum in Japan last year or the year before, and it looks kind of like the girl from The Ring. It's just kind of a creepy,
sort
like,
of, yeah.
Super
yeah.
pale.
Almost a cartoon version.
Yeah,
right, with
definitely
big,
a horror
big
movie.
Eyes and long black hair.
Yeah.
And what is being talked about is that somehow this Momo character is popping up in YouTube videos, not only on regular YouTube, but on kids' YouTube. And all of these kids are being given instructions on stabbing people, on killing their parents, on killing themselves. Now, the reason I'm approaching this kind of lightheartedly is because, by all accounts, it's not at all real. It's never happened.
It's not a viral hoax.
Yeah.
It's a viral hoax that's been perpetuated by the local news, by police who issue warnings because they've heard about it, by scared parents all over the world. And look, anytime if you're a parent and another parent or somebody you follow on social media says this is out there and it's real and it's dangerous, you err on the side of caution.
Of course.
You're concerned about that because you want to make sure that your child isn't exposed to something like that. So I totally get why people are afraid of it. But it is a viral hoax as far as we know. And YouTube says they have never, and of course the complaints go to YouTube when stuff like this happens. YouTube says they have never been able to find a single video that somebody has spliced in this Momo character telling kids to do bad things.
So how would that get started? Just somebody thought, I'm going to start a fake thing and see if I can get any traction with it?
I don't know. And apparently this isn't even new. Apparently this was going around a year and a half ago. Back then, I didn't hear about it, but it was apparently a thing that was on WhatsApp that was encouraging teenagers to do bad things. Now they're saying that it's much younger kids and it's on YouTube. It's already gone around the world. There were months where it was the hottest thing going on in Central America and Mexico.
But what were they, if it was that big around the world, were they telling stories or were they just going with what the story was?
Like, here's what it is. People, I heard of a kid who.
Right.
That's what it is. I heard of a kid who. I haven't seen it, but I know that it's out there and it's real.
Right? Yes. This happens a lot. And one of the main stories that has happened to me literally my entire life is everyone has told me there's a city in Long Beach. It's a midget town.
That's true.
My friend went there and they chase you.
That one's true.
From
That's
their
very
houses.
Different than Momo.
Brad, we covered that for years on this show. We
had no one's who, been there.
People were always calling and telling us where it was. These trends, according to Rolling Stone, these trends are part of a moral panic fueled by parents' fears in wanting to know what their kids are up to. In other words, they think, hey, if I can protect my kid from Momo, I can protect my kid, period.
I got to tell you, it is frightening to know that your kid has access to everything on the internet.
So absolutely.
I do understand where that fear comes from. But
sure.
Okay, so two things that we want to do in this this segment. One of the main reasons we wanted to bring it up, I think, is to help you put aside your fears if you've heard of the Momo Challenge and are afraid that your kid is going to somehow see it and act on it, okay? Because by all accounts, again, fake, viral hoax, okay? That's thing one. Thing two is we want to hear from you if we're wrong and you've seen it. You've come across the Momo Challenge
now,
on
this
your
is
internet.
Very important. Not a friend,
right?
Not my brother,
right?
You've seen it.
You've seen it with your own eyes. Yes. Because if you've seen it with your own eyes, you're way ahead of YouTube, who's been looking hard and following up every single complaint and has not been able to find the Momo Challenge. Okay, thing three, and this is going to turn everything I've just said upside down.
Great.
Because here's a woman on the news who says that it happened to her daughter and she saw it with her own eyes. Why would she say something like this if the Momo Challenge weren't real? I'll let you decide.
Pearl Woods is careful about what videos her 12-year-old can watch online.
I have parental control filters on here. I have Apple filters on here as well.
Zoe has autism and a few weeks ago began displaying some unusual behavior.
Where's suicide coming from? Why would she ask me about a knife going into an outlet?
Then last weekend, Zoe turned the kitchen gas stove on without letting it light. creating a potentially explosive situation.
She kept telling me about Momo, and I just didn't understand.
Okay,
okay, so that's scary.
That's the kid, though, telling her that it's about Momo. Now, is the kid hearing about the Momo challenge and somehow getting caught up? The kid's autistic, by the way, if that makes a difference. Getting caught up in the drama of Momo and thinking, oh, I've seen it too? Is this kid imagining it, I guess, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, maybe the kid saw a news report about the hoax.
And that's very possible.
That's
well,
what I think a lot of it
does spread.
It.
Yeah.
Let's talk to our friend Ryan, who streams us from Columbia, Tennessee. Now, Ryan, you've seen the Momo challenge, or someone you know has?
So a friend of mine texted me.
No, 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 no
Long Beach.
All right, go ahead. I'm sorry.
So, yeah, wah, wah, wah.
What's
so
happening?
I decided to be the responsible parent and ask my children about it. Apparently, my daughter has already cried over it twice. She's seven. She watches YouTube videos all the time. There's all these little things. My boy knew exactly who it was. He's nine, and he was just like, yeah, well, I've seen that before.
All right, but let me ask you a question. I mean, we've gotten to the point now where there's stories, and there are people in social media that are putting that image out there saying, is it possible that's what they saw?
Right.
No, they watch YouTube videos, and it pops up on their YouTube
How does
videos.
YouTube not know that, or are they just lying?
You know, that's a, I'm not that tech savvy. Hmm. I'm just going off with my children. Cause here's the deal. I didn't know about it till someone says something.
Okay,
and
but here's,
I
but here's
children,
the thing, Ryan, I'm not saying you're a liar, but I am saying your kids are dumb. Here's the thing is that lots of parents have claimed that they have seen the Momo challenge on their kids' video that they're watching and that they have immediately, there's a process on YouTube where you can report offensive or dangerous content and YouTube follows up on every single one of theirs and says, we looked at that exact same video that you flagged and contacted us about, and there's no Momo. So it's coming from somewhere, but no one's found a video that has the Momo challenge in it.
Evidently, if I ask my daughter out of the blue and she gets it, she freaks out about it. She's seven. It's real. That's all I'm saying.
Okay, but I'm going to ask is it possible she's seen it someplace?
Yes.
But
other kids have talked about it.
Right.
Maybe she's at school and some other kid came in and said that they
showed
had
them a
seen
picture,
it and said, have you seen this person?
Right. So
I'm just saying, is
my
that.
Daughter a liar.
No, I'm just saying, is it possible that she saw a report on it or something like that?
No.
All right, Ryan. You keep believing everything your kids tell you. It's going to go well.
Yeah.
Thank you for the call, sir.
Sorry.
I just want to talk to Denise real quick because she works at a school and she's got, apparently, she's heard a lot about the Momo Challenge. Denise Wescovina, thank you for calling in. What's going on?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
So I actually work at an elementary school and I was watching the second graders play the other day and they were playing tag where they were getting kind of rowdy. So I was like, hey, what are you guys doing? And they told me that they were playing Momo. And so, like, if Momo tags you, then they, like, fall to the ground and die.
Right.
And I had already heard about the challenge. So I was like, you guys, that's really bad. Like, how do we even know about Momo? And they were like, well, our parents tell us that Momo, like, wants you to kill your family and stuff. And
I was why would their parents tell them that?
And then I even asked them, like, have you guys actually seen Momo? And everyone's like, no, we've never seen it. Because, like, our parents won't let us watch YouTube. But it's like, but they're still telling them. So they wouldn't even know about Momo if the parents wouldn't tell them that.
Yeah, it's possible that there are a lot of parents who are seeing this on the news or on Facebook, and they're going to their kids and saying, look, there's this thing out there called the Momo Challenge, and it's very scary and it's very dangerous, and stay away from it. And then the kids all talk to each other about it. But
again,
it still doesn't look like it's real.
Yes.
Yeah, so me and my husband actually looked it up after we heard about it, because I do have a six-year-old that watches a lot of YouTube, so we were kind of concerned. Mm-hmm. But, like, the stuff that you find is just people, like, pretending to have Momo call them and stuff like that. Like, we've never actually found any evidence of Momo actually out there.
Right.
So it's actually the parents making it worse.
Look, we don't know for sure that it's a hoax, right? But we certainly hope so. And there's no evidence to the contrary.
It's like dinosaurs. It's all a hoax.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5 minutes till 8.
You tricked someone into believing something and kept the con going for how long? That's going to be the phone topic we'll be doing right after 8 a.m. here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. So start thinking about if you've got a story like that. I think our listeners do, by the way.
Sure. I mean, two of the three of us do.
I can't wait to tell mine.
First, though, Allie's out today. Brad Williams on Twitter, at FunnyBrad, filling in for Allie with what's happening here on this Monday morning.
That's right. Well, good morning, everybody. Let's look at some box office numbers over the weekend. Coming in at number one, again, How to Train Your Dragon. With $30 million.
Wow.
And that's... This is week two, I think.
I hear those are very good, those films.
Yeah, they're great. And it's still kids, man. Kids want to go see it a bunch of times. Kids want to bring the whole family. And it's killing it. Number two... It's very appropriate that it's in spot number two.
Mm-hmm.
Tyler Perry's Madea Family Funeral. $27 million, everybody!
That's an enormously successful franchise. What is this, like the 10th movie or something?
I think so.
Million.
Yeah, that's something.
Now, this is allegedly the last film. Mm-hmm. Allegedly.
He seems pretty serious about it.
Yes, but hasn't every single one been a huge moneymaker?
Yeah.
Every one.
Have, yeah,
yeah. I don't get, like, as long as it makes money, there are probably people that still beg him to make more.
That's
and
what I think.
And can you... If the like at this point, is there an event that people won't see Madea go do? Is there like
so far no?
Madea waits for a bus. Madea attends a bris. Madea hands out kid bags at the
look at all
birthday
the movies
party.
You're coming up with.
I mean,
Madea's living in his car.
Yeah,
her like, please. Her,
sorry,
use your proper pronouns, Kevin. How dare you?
That's my bad.
But I will say that Tyler Perry is incredibly busy producing lots of good television.
He
also has become a terrific actor just on his own.
He also has all the money in the world.
All the money in the world,
yeah. Right? Yeah. But they still make the movies,
yeah.
And people still go out to see him. Mm-hmm. And I will say this: number three was Alita. Battle Angel. This is the only movie on the entire top 10 that I have seen, and I loved it.
I saw that one, too, and I liked it a lot.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
And that made $7 million, so a big drop off from number one and two. Then you have movies like The Lego Movie 2. Green Book got a nice little bump after the Oscars. Fighting With My Family, which I'm going to see. That's the WWE movie.
Good.
And Isn't It Romantic? Greta, What Men Want, and Happy Death Day to You rounds up the top 10.
I saw Greta. Because
yeah.
We talked to Chloe...
Grace Moretz.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Last week.
I should have let you struggle.
Yeah. And,
I should have just let you go.
It was better than I thought. I thought
yeah.
It would be good.
Yeah.
It was better than I thought.
Yeah.
I was really surprised by it. I loved it.
Well, and if... Let's say you're streaming this or listening to the podcast in New York and you're tired of going to see movies and you want to go see a Broadway show.
Okay.
Well... An amazing Broadway residency is coming to New York. Oh, my gosh. It's Morrissey, everybody. Morrissey. Showing up.
He has a spotty track record at best. I'm not throwing any shade on him in any other way except for it's a coin flip when you're going to a Morrissey show.
Yeah.
Whether Morrissey is going to be part of that Morrissey show.
It's a 7-date residency. Only 7 dates. Tickets will go on sale March 8th at the...
I'll make four of them. I'll say four.
Do we want to have an over-under?
I mean...
For some credits?
You could. Look, when he headlined, or was scheduled to headline, our Acoustic Christmas a couple years ago,
yeah.
From the moment we announced it, we said, Morrissey, if he decides to show. I mean, we prepped
right.
People all the way up until the show. That
mm-hmm.
It's Morrissey, and there's a 50-50 chance he's not going to be there. So please understand that. We don't want you getting mad at us if he cancels.
But he was there, and he was great, remember?
No, he actually did cancel.
Oh, he canceled.
He cancels if the wind is blowing wrong that day. He goes, well, I can't perform.
It's yeah. Just,
no one has...
I'm so
no
depressed.
One no one has postponed or canceled more shows ever, I don't think, than Morrissey has.
Here's what you need to do. If you're in New York, just buy tickets to all 8 nights.
Uh-huh.
And you'll get to see them probably...
Twice.
Once or twice.
Yeah. That's good. Good idea.
Yeah. Well, let's go on to some news of someone who's actually doing some good. This story was almost in the great news segment.
All right.
But Lakers great Kareem Abdul-Jabbar sold a lot of his personal memorabilia and made nearly $3 million for charity.
Wow.
For charity, so it's not just he's broke and needs to sell stuff.
That's right. Great.
He's giving it away.
Yeah, and the charity is his Skyhook Foundation that sends children from economically challenged backgrounds to summer camps that focus on science, technology, and engineering.
That's fantastic.
So $3 million. And this is not just like, oh, I gave you my mouthpiece.
Right.
He sold 4 of his 6 championship rings.
Wow.
He sold MVP trophies. He sold signed game-worn jerseys. He was giving away the good stuff.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yes.
And you know, Brad, I don't want to put you on the spot, but what would a Lakers championship ring from Kareem Abdul-Jabbar go for? Do you have any idea?
Well, I will tell you. His 1985 championship ring sold for $343,000.
Wow, that's amazing.
And the 80 and 88 rings only went for a mere $245,000. I was on this charity auction.
You tried to buy stuff?
I was trying to get a jersey because me and a Kareem jersey, I think, would look hilarious.
That's true.
And I was like, all right,
you're
I'll go
like
for
a dress.
Yeah, I'll wear a game-worn Kareem muumuu, and I'll do that. And I was going to bet $5,000. No chance.
$5,000.
No.
Don't be ridiculous.
Chance. But what a great thing that Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was doing. Shout out to you, Kareem.
I agree.
That's awesome. That's about the only good Laker news that we have going on right now. So that's the one thing that Lakers can look forward to. That and a draft pick.
The best thing we have going on now as Lakers fans is that Kareem is giving away rings.
It's like, keep your rings, Kareem. We're not going to get another one for a long time. Don't be giving them away.
It's very cool that he does that for charity, though. I like that.
Absolutely. Let's get to some celebrity birthdays, everybody. Patricia Heaton, you remember her from Everybody Loves Raymond. I think Dave does a great impression of Raymond, doesn't he?
Yeah, not really, no.
We'll have to get him in here to do his impression of Raymond for the next birthday.
Move on, Brad. Hey.
That's it.
Is that Chewbacca?
That's it. That's his impression.
Catherine O'Hara's birthday is today, and some athlete, I don't know why he's on this sheet. It's Landon Donovan. Must be one of those like European soccer players. They have the umlauts above the O or
something
like that. He's
the greatest American player ever.
Donovan. So happy birthday, Donovan. And I'm Brad Williams filling in for Allie McKee.
Just announced this morning your tickets for the Ohana Festival. It's coming to Tahini State Beach September 27th through the 29th with an amazing lineup, including Eddie Vedder, The Strokes, Red Hot Chili Peppers, Incubus, and so much more. We've got your tickets all week long here on KROQ, including on the Kevin and Bean Show at 9 a.m. So, Friday morning, Brad, in for Allie, we came in, and you know at the start of every show, we play our little intro, and then Kevin comes out and welcomes everybody to the show and gives the date.
Yep.
Well, we didn't do it, but we had a discussion about how funny it would be and how possible it would be to convince Kevin that it was not March 1st, but that it was actually February 29th, and this was a leap year. Kevin, for folks who don't know, is Ron Burgundy.
Yes.
He will read anything that is put in front of him on a teleprompter.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. I've made so many mistakes that when something like that comes up that I disagree with, I assume I'm wrong.
Because you're like, well, I can go with my thoughts,
right,
which be wrong.
Which have always hurt me.
Yeah.
Or just accept what's being given to me.
Right.
So
I'm glad you didn't follow through with it.
Yes, we thought it would have been very funny because not only would we have Kevin thinking all day long that it was February 29th, but then the next day he would wake up and think, okay, now it's March 1st, and he'd be off a day. And then March 2nd, he'd be off a day. And then March 3rd. And we felt like he wouldn't realize until maybe Christmas time.
How dare you?
That he was one day behind.
You could have kept that going for so long.
For the rest
long
of my life?
If you just kept the papers on the desk as the day
exactly,
after.
Exactly, yes. So we didn't do it, and I kind of regret it because I think it would have been funny. But our beloved listener, Edwin, who's with us every morning and sends in a lot of great suggestions, he's a big fan of the show, he said, I think this would be a fun phone topic for you to find out what kind of cons KROQ listeners have pulled on their friends and family and coworkers and how long they got away with it.
So you tricked somebody into thinking something, and how long were you able to keep that going?
Yeah. Yes, because it's a lot of fun. Let's face it. So we're going to take your calls on this at 1-800-520-1067. That's the number to call or text. And I have no idea what we're going to get, but I understand we've got some stories to get us started here in the room.
Well, when I was in high school, I was not a good person.
What?
Shut up. I was sort of an ass.
Okay.
So we found this teacher, and we liked her, so I'm not sure why we did this.
Yeah.
But we all got together, and we said, let's see if each one of us goes up to her at different times in the day and says, hey, are you okay? You're not looking great. You know what? You're not looking like you feel very well. If one person after another went up to her and said that,
yeah,
could we get it in her mind that she's not feeling well?
Mm.
And she would leave and go home. And by the way, it worked. She left. She left and she went home for the day.
No, don't applaud that. That's a horrible thing.
And she was totally fine, though.
Yeah. Yes, right? Totally fine, but probably 9, 10, 11 of us at different times would go, hey, you all right? You look like you're not feeling well. And so she started sort of getting that in her head, and enough people tell you that separately from everybody else. I think that would be a pretty easy thing to pull on anyone.
To be fair, when you are teaching Kevin anything, you are looking for any excuse to get out of there.
That's true. She played it perfectly.
She does feel like her occupation is futile at this point because clearly you can't be taught.
So I think all this time I got it over on her when she literally just took advantage of me.
And you just now realize
that.
Wow. 1-800-520-1067. What did you convince somebody of, and for how long were you able to keep it going? All right, Brad, you've been champing at the bit. What do you have?
Oh, man. There was a comedian that I did a tour with. His name is Juan Villarreal. He is out of Houston, Texas, and we were doing a show in Columbus, Ohio. For those of you who don't know, that is Ohio State University, the Ohio State University.
Okay.
And I convinced him that this area of Ohio, it's close enough to Michigan. They are the biggest Michigan fans in the world.
Oh, my God.
So Juan goes up on stage, and he does a joke where he says a certain group of people is not very intelligent, and he tags it with, just like all those Ohio State fans, right, go Michigan! And the place...
Oh, my God.
Kevin...
I love that. That's their bitterest rival.
Yes, they were throwing stuff at him, just backstage laughing.
Did he ever glance over at you? Like,
yes,
dude.
And he saw me laughing, and he immediately knew what happened.
That's awesome.
Sorry, Juan.
That's fantastic. All right, let's squeeze in a couple calls before the break. 1-800-520-1067. I like where these are going. Let's go to Justin first, please. Line 2. Justin is in Irvine. Welcome to the show. So you had a long con. You convinced your friend of something and got away with it for how long?
Well, it wasn't a long con, but it was a good con. I was on the my family camping trip we go on every year, and after a day of fishing and whatnot, we're all sitting around the campfire having a couple cold ones, and some fellow campers start this conversation about politics with my dad. Now, it starts getting heated. Excuse my language. Oh, this is about to get physical. And so they didn't know it was my dad that they were talking to. So I go, well, I really hope this doesn't get physical, because that guy right there was the 1977 heavyweight boxing champion.
You made that up out of whole cloth. Just made it up.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Because my dad is a 6'4", almost 300-pound dude, but a scientist, a total goofball. Like, couldn't do anything. Couldn't throw a softball. And so they're like, really? And I'm like, yeah. And the thing is, his claim to fame is he won 4 fights without throwing a right hand.
Like, just pile it on.
That's pretty sweet.
They creep up behind it, their buddy there that's getting all heated with my dad. And like, hey. Let's cool this down. Let's go back to work. Yeah.
That's fantastic.
How long were you able to keep it going?
We never told him it wasn't true. My dad didn't even know what was happening. I just let him walk off.
They might still believe it. Now, I only have to... it's a great story, and I love that you called and told us. But your dad's a white guy, right?
Oh, Jan, yeah. He's a white guy.
How on earth did these people believe that?
I said he was Irish. He said he was Irish, and he was the 1977 heavyweight boxing champion of the world.
That's pretty strong.
I think it was far enough back that they just... figured they didn't know.
Sure. That's fantastic. I love it. Thank you so much for the call. We appreciate it, Justin. 1-800-520-1067. You convinced somebody of something, and you were able to keep it going for a while. We want to hear your calls next on K-Rock.
Just out of Muse, let's take one phone call. It's Karen from Duarte. Good morning, Karen.
Hey, how are you?
Good, thank you.
We are talking about you were able to convince somebody of something that wasn't true and keep them believing it for a while. What was yours?
A while is presently and 8 years.
8 years and going?
Oh, and going, because we made a pack. Eight of us went on a cruise ship.
Right.
We all decided we'd have a good time. My boyfriend gets all mingled up in the first night with some SC football players who brought handles of Jack Daniels.
Mm-hmm.
He's wasted. We lose him. He's convinced that when we did find him, we found him naked in a jacuzzi on the deck under the dining floor, and everybody saw him naked on the deck, and we had to carry him down to the room where he got sick all night.
And he has no memory of that, so he believes it.
He believes it 150%.
That's awesome.
And we've all decided we're not telling him. We're not telling him until we're all together.
That's awesome. That's fantastic.
I love that.
Now, I got to say, if somebody is on and knows this guy and knows the story, do not tell him.
Keep it going.
Yeah.
Keep it going.
Let's go for 10.
All right, Karen, we are going to be your co-conspirator on that. Thank you very much for the call. From the 415, Michael listing in San Francisco. When I was a kid, maybe 5, 6, 7 years old, my sister convinced me that the doctor mistook my penis for an umbilical cord and chopped it off at birth. And the one that I had was a mechanical penis. I believed her for 2 years.
That's awesome.
Wow. Your call's coming up next after Muse on the World Famous Game. Dear Kevin and Bean, Patrick writes in college, I used to go dancing at the same bar every week. I met an American girl, he's Canadian, by the way, who had recently come back from a semester abroad in Chile. And I introduced myself as Alvaro, who spoke only Spanish just for kicks. I told her I was from Colombia. Well, awkwardly, we hit it off and ended up dating. I kept up the ruse for how long, you guys? Did he only speak Spanish to her?
They now have 3 children.
6 weeks.
Wow.
He only spoke Spanish. You know what? Brilliant, because we all know that ladies love the foreigners, right? They love the accent.
Sure.
You're dating an exotic man. If he's Canadian, speaking Canadian, whatever their language is, that's not impressive to the ladies, right? I kept up the ruse for 6 weeks until finally I dropped my guard, and in perfect English, I accidentally blurted out, "Oh, man, I love this song." Didn't even mean to do it.
And it happened to be Smash Mouth All-Star, too.
That's
amazingly
awesome.
She didn't dump me immediately, and we ended up dating for, Brad, you were right on, 6 years. Says a lot about me, but I think it says more about her. So how about that?
I love that.
All right, let's take some calls. Let's go to Joshua in Compton. Good morning, Joshua.
Hey, good morning, Kevin and Ben. How are you guys doing this morning?
We are very good.
What's your story?
Well, the con of the story is that I had my director from my acting college in high school, the American Academy of Dramatic Arts, that he was Al Pacino.
Wait, what? Who did you tell your teacher was Al Pacino?
His name was Ben Martin, a great, great director at the Academy. And it was my fiance at the time. And the ruse lasted up to 7 years until after we got married. I told her I wasn't Al Pacino, it was Ben Martin. Oh, my gosh, she came unglued.
Can you imagine that?
Wait, so she just thought that your acting teacher was Al Pacino?
So every week you'd come home and she'd be like, "Oh man, you hung out with Al Pacino. How was that?" You'd have to make up a story.
Not just an actor, not just a friend, but he was my director and all this stuff. And I went to Juilliard, and it became a big old thing.
That's fantastic.
That is fantastic.
Thank you for the call, 1-800-520-1067. All right, let's go to Cyrus. He's in Las Vegas streaming the show here this morning. Line 6, please, up next on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, Cyrus.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
We are good. You convinced who of what?
Okay, so growing up in Eagle Rock, all my friends since the second grade, my best friend David, I told him that I was the Oscar Mayer Wiener kid commercial who was singing, "I wish I had an Oscar Mayer Wiener."
You convinced him that you were you convinced him that you were that kid?
Yes, and it went on for years. Until we're about 24, 25, we're at a party, and he was talking to my sister, like, "Oh, my God, he must have got a lot of money for doing that role." And
your
she's
stupid
like, what are you
sister
talking about?
Ruined
what
it.
What role?
Yeah.
And he's all, "The Oscar Mayer Wiener." She said, "He never did that." Oh, my God. It was like World War III after that.
I can't imagine.
Did you ever pay for the check? Like, I just got that wiener money coming in.
You think he called it wiener money?
Yeah.
I would. Right. Hey, it was fun while it lasted, though. Thank you for the call, and thank you for streaming us all the way out in Las Vegas. Let's go to NoHo next. Kyle, line 7. He's up next on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, Kyle.
Hey guys. How's it going?
Good. Thank you. You convinced who of what?
I convinced my best friend's girlfriend that my fiance's middle name, my fiance's super, super Italian.
Uh-huh.
We convinced her that my fiance's middle name is Lasagna.
Really?
And
yeah,
why?
Yeah.
And they believed it?
Yeah, she still believes it to this day. We don't know how to, like, break it to her. He's going to be officiating our wedding, too. So at some point, she's going to be at the ceremony like, why aren't they saying Lasagna?
No, please, don't.
No.
Keep it
going.
The wedding.
Keep it going. Tell your fiance about it. Have her go along with it.
Oh, my fiance knows, and she's like my friend's girlfriend has reached out to me and be like, is her name really Lasagna? And I'm like, yeah, it's just not spelled the same.
That's fantastic. Thank you for the call.
It's spelled like Andrea, but pronounced Lasagna.
Let's do Abraham, line 3. I don't understand why you would want to convince people of this. Abraham, what's the story here?
I'm sorry. I just think some people are naive, so it's fun to take advantage. But basically, when I was younger, I used to play with fireworks, and I got a huge gnarly scar behind my knee. And I convinced a bunch of people and just random strangers that I was hit by a shotgun, like 2 ball bearings and a drive-by shooting. And to this day, it's been about 20 years, and some people still think I got shot.
Well, I mean, that's a better story than fireworks fallout, I guess.
Right? Because only losers play with fireworks, right, Kevin?
Abraham is my soulmate.
Thank you for the call. Javier with the final word from the 562. Yeah. Hey, I convinced my wife that I was straight for years. Hey, another remember, we would like to send you to Doheny State Beach the last weekend of September for the Ohana Festival. It's an unbelievable lineup. That's a beautiful place to have a festival, by the way.
Yeah, no kidding.
Strokes, Eddie Vedder, Red Hot Chili Peppers, Incubus, and so much more. If you haven't heard about this before, get all the details at krock.com and be prepared to win your way in at 9 a.m. Coming up in about 20 minutes or so here on the Kevin and Bean Show, and then throughout the day at noon, 3, and 6 p.m. Again, details at krock.com.
Hey, I have a question about your newly reformed Instagram, Bean.
Yes, sir.
The first 2 pictures on your Instagram.
I'm looking at them right now.
Is somebody upside down and a bloody face, and then the second picture is, I believe, your wife's hands covered in blood. So, what kind of murder is going on there?
Okay.
And why would you post it on Instagram if you're killing people?
Look. Christine, God bless her, runs a lot of the social media on the show, and she's been saying to me for years, Bean, I know you have money in Twitter and you love Twitter, but nobody's on Twitter. You got to get on Instagram. Instagram is where the people are. If you want people to see your stuff, you got to get on Instagram.
You're avoiding the question.
I'm getting there.
Death, and I said, murder, death and
what's
murder.
With the murder?
I said, I think I have an Instagram account, but just give me some time to try to track it down. I didn't remember what the username was, by the
track
way.
Track it down?
It's Bean9. If you want to follow it, it's Bean9. I didn't know, and I didn't have the password, so then I had to go through that whole
house. Sorry to interrupt, but murder,
what about
what's
the
up?
Blood? Right. So it turns out I finally, like 3 days ago, was able to unlock my Instagram account, and I had about a dozen photos up there from 2011.
Including a murder. What's up with it?
That's part of why the answer to the question, Kevin, is I don't know.
What?
Because it was 2011, and you know what my memory is like. What makes you think I'm going to remember every single drifter I murdered in 2011?
It's a bloody face and then bloody hands. I mean, right. I feel like that would stand out to you.
It's
even not
years ago.
Right.
That you last killed?
8 years ago. But you're discounting
murder.
You're discounting. There's a picture of an ice cream truck up there. There's a picture of
not covered in
of
blood.
A VFW hall. I mean, there's other good stuff
so,
up there.
So pictures of 2 people bloodied, which we assume is a murder, and then an ice cream.
And then an ice cream truck.
You think the ice cream truck is less creepy?
That's how you got around.
Yes, that's the vehicle you drove to lure the children in to commit the murder.
What? Why? How? Murder, what's up?
So when I put this all up back up online on Wednesday, or at least made it public, I guess, because it had been private up till that point. And then Allie McKay, God rest her soul, RIP Allie, she came
sure.
in.
She's just sick. She'll be back.
First thing Thursday morning, and she's like, what's with the blood? And I had to tell her what I'm
murder.
Telling you, which is I don't have any memory of the blood. I'm sorry, I don't know. So she said,
why don't we get your wife on the phone?
Great idea.
And I think maybe that's the answer because, look, if I didn't have my beloved wife, Donna, I don't know how I'd get up and get dressed and come to work in the morning. She is the only thing that keeps me organized and going and being where I'm supposed to be because my memory is terrible.
So we should blame her for you still being here?
So she will remember the murder.
Well, we're going to find out. But first, hey, hi, Donna, first of all.
Hi, sweet pea.
How sweet is she?
All I'm saying, I just want to say free ice cream for those kids, so shut up about
him. I don't know that it's a good trade-off.
Stop complaining about getting murdered.
Murder for ice cream.
Before we move on, I want to introduce you to my favorite little midget, Brad Williams, who's on the show today, filling in for Allie. I don't think you've ever spoken with Brad.
We've spoken, Bean.
I love Brad, and we have spoken, and I often express my disappointment that his little voice doesn't sound like he swallowed helium, which...
She's very mad that I don't sound like my height.
I mean, that seems valid.
She thinks I should be on air and be like, oh, blah, 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 we'll talk to Donald, blah, 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 blah.
That seems valid.
Wizard of Oz style.
Yeah. I honestly love Brad. He's a snack. All right.
He is. Brad is adorable.
Murder, what's up?
We're not
talking about the topic here.
That's the topic. Murder, what's up, Donna? Because this was 8 years ago. I just unearthed this account for the first time in the last 5 days. I have no idea what you and I are doing in these photos. Please enlighten us.
Don't you love that Bean can remember every B-side of every bad record eternity. He can remember every president and vice president. He does not remember ever marrying me. He just wakes up in the morning and goes, oh, this woman feeds me, so I think I'll stay.
Who are you? And then he stopped asking, who are you?
Exactly. So I love that he doesn't remember.
Okay.
The trivial,
so you do. Murder, what's up?
Murder, I didn't want to have to ask him to turn the Taylor Swift off twice, so I kind of feel like he brought it on himself.
Wait a minute.
We're talking to Clone Bean?
there's blood all over your hands, though. I'm hoping that you'll shed some light on the mystery.
Well, there are two different stories. The blood on your face and the blood on my hands are not related, even though you put them in follow-up. So I just
that's Bean's face? That's Bean's
that
face?
That is Bean's face that is bleeding.
I had the crap beaten out of me.
Yes. Bean has this thing. He spends money on things like, Corey Ray Jepsen CD, but he won't spend money on a fresh disposable razor. So
there's no way.
He shaves his face every morning with like a 100-year-old razor.
There's no way.
He cuts the crap out of it. I'm not joking. It's not a joke.
That all happened shaving?
All of that happened.
What?
How are you not dead, Bean?
I'm not kidding.
I lose a lot of blood every morning when I shave.
And you guys wonder why he faints all the time. I mean, it's not like he quits after the first cut. He's like, oh, this will get better.
Well, I just feel like the first cut is the deepest. And if I can survive that,
you go straight to hell. Why is his face bloody and upside down?
I think he just forgot to rotate that picture. His face isn't actually upside down.
All right, so you guys are satisfied that my photo is innocent. No, that my photo is innocent,
no.
And there was no murder involved in my picture.
I'm not buying that you could do that much damage with a razor.
Have you met Bean?
I have, but...
I'm a terrible shaver.
If I have to choose between murder and shaving, I'm going murder on
what's
that one.
Now, what's the second photo, Donna, that has all the blood on your hands, literally?
Well, you guys remember that we had a little pig named Godzilla.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And don't go there because that's lowest common denominator. I will not accept that from this show.
Please.
Brad was going to make a bacon joke.
Don't do it.
All right.
So we got him when he was 3 months old, and he was radically undernourished. He didn't get any colostrum when he was young from his mom. So his ears, instead of standing straight up, they flopped forward, which meant by the time he was 10 years old, he had developed some skin cancers on the back of his ears. And we used to take him all the time to Corvallis, the big, large animal hospital there, to have it removed. And then 1 year, our vet, Dana Ness at Fair Isle, said, hey, I think we can do this. It's small enough. We can freeze it and we can remove it. Why don't you help me? So we went down to the barn and we froze his little melanoma and then we removed it. But there's a lot of blood, and that's my hands after this
surgery with my little pig.
Question two. Why is there no caption on either of those pictures? Which leads us all to think, we have to guess.
Well, first of all, that happened so long ago. It's not like there was an Instagram back when that actually happened.
They took a picture and put it on Instagram.
I don't even know that you could do comments back then, though, honestly.
There was always captions.
Stop it.
It was 8 years ago. I don't remember any details about Instagram, what it was like back then, but it wasn't what it is now, though, where everybody follows everybody and talks about stuff.
Yeah, I don't think there were hashtags raisins, hashtags granola, hashtag yum, hashtag food, hashtag lunch. I don't think there was
hashtag blood, of course.
You know?
But some type of explanation of what it is. I mean, it's just a picture of a guy you can't even tell his being. His face is bleeding and your hands are bloody. And there's no wording.
Right. There's an edit button. You can go back
that
and
has
then
to do with editing.
Yes.
Okay, but let me just also say this, Kevin. Until last Thursday, my account was private. No one followed me, and I didn't follow anyone. So these pictures
just
that I
fellow
found
murderers
were really, they were really only for me and the John Wayne Gacy fan club. So I didn't have to put any captions on it because nobody would ever see them. And until it went public on Thursday, now it's unleashed into the world. And now all of a sudden, you guys are asking questions.
But did you not know that those pictures were up when you posted it and made it?
I did,
public?
But I just left it the way it was, and then just added a new photo.
They're beautiful. Like, if you look at the composition of my hands with my little ring.
They're not beautiful.
It's kind of beautiful. It's very kind of, you know, like man ray.
Donna, I love you. These are not beautiful.
Okay, listen.
Wait, Bean, I have one closing question.
Okay.
And that's, I mean,
because we're out of time.
It's something we're all thinking. How did you get Donna, who is incredibly hot and you are not? How did that happen?
There's no answer to that question.
He's got a big.
Okay, thank you, honey. Thank you.
And it is 8:53.
By the way, if I could just put in a quick plug for that HD radio, many cars have it now. Rock of the 80s.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
HD2 is phenomenal,
it's
you
pretty
guys.
Cool.
So many of those amazing songs that we all grew up with listening in the 80s and 90s. It's so great to hear them again. And Freddie Snakeskin is over there. And it's a tremendous option for you if you're looking for some classic alternative music. Brad is in for Ally McKay. It's time for another look at what's happening here on a Monday morning.
And listen, I don't like that to come in on this day. A, I had to wake up very early. And B, there's nothing but bad news. Nothing but bad news in the news.
You're kind of a bummer.
Yeah.
Got to be honest, you're a bummer.
Apparently, I'm just bringing pain with me today. I mean, there was the documentary Leaving Neverland, which aired on HBO last night. That is horrible. We'll talk a little bit more about that next hour. But also, some of our K-Rock listeners noticed that we played Firestarter a few minutes ago. One of the reasons why we did that is because, unfortunately, the lead singer of that band, The Prodigy, was found dead of an apparent suicide, Keith Flint. And the band has announced it, and it's heartbreaking, it's horrible, and we want to make sure, once again, that we let people know that if you're going through issues, to reach out. There are hotlines, there are people, there are friends, there are therapists, there are many people who will be more than happy to help you if you're going through some stuff.
You brought that up earlier, which is people will be happy to talk to you.
Yes.
Absolutely.
It's not
not a burden.
Right. You're not a burden. You're not a burden.
Yes. Because a friend of mine last week, comedian Brody Stevens, took his own life. And it destroyed the entire comedy community. We're still mourning about it. We hang out at the Comedy Store every night just so we can talk to friends. And some people said, like, well, maybe he was scared to talk to people about it. And yes, maybe you are scared. But just know that people will listen, and they will be thrilled that you told them so we can help.
Is this you pepping us up now? Because we talked about how you had been a downer all day.
Yeah, this is
he turned in the quarter.
He turned it around. Now we're having a great time.
We sure
but
are.
With all that bad news that's going on.
Yes, and please.
All
something.
That
anything.
Okay. I'll bring something better. How about parents are throwing slices of cheese at their children? That's better, right?
I got to be honest. I love it.
I don't get it.
How did it
even start?
This
Brad?
Is the latest social media
it's
craze.
It's everywhere.
And this because someone on Twitter posted a video of himself
throwing a slice of cheese on his baby's face.
The baby's landed, not even one, I don't think.
Yeah, it landed perfectly. It made a great sort of slap sound.
It was hilarious.
And the baby just looked very confused. Why is there a slice of cheese on my head? And now parents are doing that, and it is hashtag cheese challenge.
Oh, dear God.
It's not the cinnamon challenge.
Why is there a slice of cheese on my head is a very reasonable question for that young man to fake, too, by the way.
And now there's so many. I'm going through all these tweets, and I am laughing at all of them. If you just... There's a lot of bad news today. If you didn't hear the great news segment earlier, just go to hashtag cheese challenge on Twitter and watch parents throw slices of cheeses on their baby.
It's unusually funny.
It's amazing.
Kids are stupid.
Yes.
I don't think that's the point.
And if you want to be in a situation where you should be laughing, but you won't be laughing, you can go see Stormy Daniels perform stand-up comedy on March 20th at the Joke Joint in Houston, Texas. That's right, Stormy Daniels. Remember that porn star that you've done horrible things to when no one was watching? Or that porn star that came out and said she had an affair with Donald Trump?
Mm-hmm.
That porn star? Well, have you always wanted to laugh? Go see her. She's going to be doing stand-up at the Joke Joint.
I've seen her.
What the hell?
I've seen her interviewed. I don't even think she has a sense of humor. I'm not saying that to be mean, but I've seen her interviewed, and she just doesn't come across as that type of personality.
There's a great comedian. Her name is Lori Kilbarton, and she tweeted out, like, why is the club doing this? Because there's great female comics out there that they've put in their time. They've earned this spot. Now they're giving it to Stormy Daniels. Stormy clapped back at her and said that, well, I've been writing jokes for 10 years. Have you?
Wow.
Have you been writing jokes for 10 years? Wow. I don't know. You're a porn star. Are you shocked that men are always laughing at what you say? Guess what? Not because you're funny. Not because you're funny.
I've seen this before, though, with celebrities where they think they can be a comedian. Because, look, here's what it is. You're famous for one thing. Your 15 minutes are starting to wind down. Yeah. You want to stay in the spotlight, stay in show business. You're addicted to it. You think, hey, I'll do anything else. And that's why some of these people end up being on reality TV shows for the next 20 years. I remember when John Wayne Bobbitt did stand up. Same thing. Exactly. He's famous for one thing.
Yeah.
He tried to turn that into a comedy career.
Yeah. And there's a lot of this going on. It's Screech. He does stand-up comedy.
Yep.
He tours and does stand-up.
Is that insulting to comedians? I assume it is.
Because people think that our job is so easy.
Right. Well, you make it look easy. That's why.
That everyone can just go on stage and talk about whatever, and they're going to get laughs. Now, I will give this to Stormy. If I'm ever on stage and bombing, I have to do certain tricks to get the audience to laugh, go to hack jokes, go to jokes that are old but I know work.
Okay.
Stormy has a whole other trick she could do.
I've seen it.
It'll take a little bit of time, but all you need is a little bit of lube and patience. It'll happen.
I thought you were trying to turn people out of going to the show. Now I'm back in.
Well, fly to Houston and go see Stormy Daniels.
Done.
Bomb March 20th at the Joke Joint. Right. Let's get to some celebrity birthdays, everybody. Patricia Heaton, everybody loves Raymond, the middle, great actress. It's her birthday today. Catherine O'Hara, legendary of all the, I'm blanking on his name, Christopher Guest movies. He was my director in a movie and I forgot his darn name. It is her birthday today. And also, how do you pronounce this?
Landon Donovan.
London?
You know who he is.
London Donovan, he's apparently, he kicks a little ball around, and it's his birthday today, too. So, I'm Brad Williams, filling in for Alan McKay. Come see me do actual stand-up at the Ice House in Pasadena in May. Actual comedy. And...
I'm not going to lie, I'm looking at this schedule for the Kevin and Bean Show K-Rock for tomorrow morning, and it is unbelievable how much we're going to cram into one show, and we'll tell you all about that in about 5 minutes. But first, Monday morning, our friend Brad Williams, very kind to come in and sit in for Ally McKay, who's out today. What's going on, Brad?
Well, it's a good thing you guys called me in today, because, man, it's just a lot of fun out there.
All right.
A lot of great stories. You don't even have to do the great news. It's right here in What's Happened. Oh, wait, it's depressing as hell. So all anyone is talking about is the Leaving Neverland documentary that aired on HBO last night. Part one aired on HBO last night.
And now, let me stop you right there.
Yes. Please, stop me.
Kevin, did you watch?
I watched probably only 20 minutes of it because I forgot. But then I recorded the later.
Will you watch?
Yeah.
Okay, how about you, Brad?
I did not watch, but I will, and it will make me very uncomfortable, and I feel like that for stuff like this, that's a good thing. That it makes you think about it and makes you realize the severity of the situation.
All right, tell me if I'm a bad person.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, let me finish. Okay. Am I a bad person that I don't need somebody else to tell me that Michael Jackson molested them? I already believe he molested a lot of kids.
Yes, and you're not a bad person, because I'm also sort of under the belief of, why do we need these things for us to have a call to action, whether it be R. Kelly, whether it be Michael Jackson, whether it be when they talked about the Ray Rice tape and how, like we knew what happened before the tape came out.
Yeah.
Right.
And then the tape comes out, and now we're all up in arms.
I mean, I get that it may feel good for the victims to have their say and to be believed. I get that, because a lot of times have changed. But I guess the reason I didn't watch it and may not is I have very close to zero tolerance for child abuse. It's so painful and so ugly.
It's a very hot take, Bean.
To see those stories that...
No, agreed.
I just can't... it's hard for me to look at it.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And to hear the graphic details of what happened. I already know he's a monster.
Yes.
And this isn't going to change my mind either way, except maybe to think he's more of a monster.
I think the... Yeah, maybe. I think the problem, though, is that nothing really stuck to him legally while he was alive, did it?
No.
So he'd pay people off and whatever.
Yeah, he'd pay people off.
And did get acquitted on the one that he went to trial for.
Right, so...
By a jury that loved Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
So there is a reason to watch it, because it hasn't been damning evidence yet, even if you believe it.
Now, the question is, and unfortunately this is a debate that we're having a lot nowadays, is, are you able to separate the art from the artist? Can you listen to a Michael Jackson song now?
This is the perfect one to have this discussion, because it's easy for most white people to avoid R. Kelly, okay? White people can't avoid Michael Jackson, because he is on all of our mixtapes, he's at all of our weddings that we go to, he's at all of our, you know, all of our party weekends. He's
You're telling Bean parties a lot, because he says
party weekend.
He's ubiquitous.
Yeah.
He's the biggest star of all time. I will tell you this, the largest radio station in Europe, BBC Radio 2, has at least temporarily pulled all Michael Jackson music.
Wow.
Yeah.
And
did you see Jensen's tweet last night?
Just
before it aired? I'm listening to PYT for one last time.
Yeah, and I saw a couple of the people that were doing very similar things, because it's weird that it varies from person to person and from artist to artist. Me personally, I cannot listen to a Chris Brown song ever.
But I agree.
Right.
There are certain artists that have done other horrible things that I can listen to, and I know that's hypocritical, and I know it's weird.
Well, I think we're all like that.
Yeah.
We're all like that. I mean, Bing Crosby beat the crap out of his children.
Yeah.
But I'll still listen to White Christmas when
Not
it comes
me.
On. And maybe because, well, you just hate White Christmas.
Right.
But
yeah.
Maybe it's because, I don't know, maybe it's because everybody involved is dead and it happened 75 years ago.
Yeah.
I don't know if that has anything to do with it. And Michael Jackson's victims are still alive. Look, if Michael Jackson's victims were guests today, I wouldn't be playing Michael Jackson on our station. I'll tell you that.
No, of course.
And I don't want to inflict pain on anybody who has suffered child abuse. But I don't know, Brad. I mean, if you're driving down the road on your way home today and Beat It comes on, it's still a great song.
Yeah, and that's the hard part, is when all the Cosby stuff came out. Everyone's like, well, Bill Cosby's a horrible comedian. It's like, nah, his jokes... We're good.
He was a good comedian.
A good comedian.
Bad person.
Horrible
person.
Human being.
Yeah.
Horrible.
Yeah.
And does it take away from the art? And for some people, yes. For some people, no. I think it's just a personal preference, and you have to make that decision for yourself.
It's an ugly, ugly story. And I only watched 20 minutes of it. I'm going to watch it when I get home and watch the second one, too, because it's just...
Yeah.
It's crushing.
And
why do you put yourself through that, though, Kevin? You already know he's guilty. You know he did it.
I mean, I believe that he was guilty and did it, but it's different to hear it from people that were there. Mm-hmm. And in the 20 minutes that I watched, they had moms and sisters and brothers going to live at Neverland and leaving their dad, who has Alzheimer's, behind. Like, it was crazy, the parents that were involved in taking their kids there.
Yeah, and I think that's one thing that you also saw from this, is that just the people who get blinded by fame and people that are leaving their children with Michael Jackson over just bye.
Yep.
Have a good time.
All right, let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. Can you listen to Jackson 5 songs? Because Michael was 11 then and had never done anything bad.
Ooh, so that's before.
Yeah.
I mean, I would assume that would be different, sure.
Yeah.
I don't know. This is a really difficult one.
It is.
It's and the thing is I don't think there's an easy answer.
Nope.
And I think the answer changes from person to person.
Yeah, everybody makes up their own mind what they can handle, what they don't want to handle.
Yeah. And, God, you guys brought me in on the right day because it's just...
The hits, play into your strengths of comedy.
The hits keep on coming, everybody. Well, there was a couple celebrities born today, but at this point, who cares? I'm Brad Williams, and that's what's happening.
Thanks again, Brad. Hopefully, Allie will feel better and be back tomorrow. Hey, on your drive home, tomorrow on the Kevin and Bean Show, the day we have been looking for. Not only do we have Captain Marvel herself, Brie Larson, on the program, but Nick Fury, Samuel L. Jackson, and Clark Gregg, all from the upcoming Captain Marvel movie, which opens everywhere this Friday. That is going to be amazing. And to keep the 90s theme going, our old friend Gavin Rosdale from the band Bush will be here as well. That's all tomorrow morning.